Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box Radio. This is Kalia. I haven't done any videos or broadcasts lately because I've been on a long journey, living in a minivan over the summer and focused on my own growth and expansion. And if you'd like to read about my mystical minivan ventures, you can visit flyingsolo.me. I have found that producing videos has not been an easy road for me. I much prefer writing and recording audio. So I will continue to write my articles and do more podcasting. I may from time to time record a video as well, but I don't want to allow my aversion to creating videos to prevent me from getting this information out to you. In the past several years, I have felt quite a shift within myself. And that seems to be mirroring the shifts happening on the planet. The more I shift, the higher perspective I have, which is great. And I feel a need to share this higher perspective with you, as I know many of you are also feeling the shift in yourself and are seeking a better way to deal with the hardships of life, with the challenges that are coming up right now. On a spiritual level, we are all one. The life force within each one of us is the same substance. Some call this substance God, some call it Source, some call it Divinity. There are many names for this Source energy or life force energy that lives, moves, and has its being through each one of us individually. We're all part of the same thing. We're simply expressing it individually. I was conditioned, as most people are, to seek outside of myself for God, to appeal to an outside force for help and support when I was suffering. And like many, I've often felt abandoned by God. The times where I was at my lowest point, my deepest pain, it felt I was all alone in that pain. Where was God? Where were the angels? Where was all this spiritual support I was supposed to have? It was hard for me to wrap my mind around the concept that what I was seeking wasn't out there. It was within me. I had simply disconnected from it. Like so many others, I needed a savior. I needed something outside of myself to save me from the reality that was my life. I was tired of finding myself in situations and circumstances where I felt completely uncared for and unloved. In so many ways, I felt I was doomed to live a life of quiet desperation. When I would pray to God, it was, "Please, God, help me. Lift me from this place. Show me that you're here." But it felt my prayers went unanswered, as I would wake up every morning to the same familiar dread. You know this dread, maybe. It's the dark, dense, anxious energy that sits there in the pit of your stomach once you wake up in the morning and realize that you're awake. It's everything that has floated to the surface of your awareness from the subconscious during sleep. Instead of being excited for each new day and ready to live my life to the fullest, I felt dread. I questioned why I was here and what my true purpose was. My hyper-aware, sensitive personality was no match for the narcissism of the world. I felt too much in a narcissistic society that felt too little. I loved so deeply and yet felt so unloved. I was often a target for other people's repressed pain and anger. I didn't feel like I belonged here. It wasn't my world. Although we are one, we are not the same. God, the life force energy that expresses through each and every one of us, is limited by the level of conscious awareness each individual has. And this force can be used for both good and evil. That understanding blew my fantasy that God was only love and everything unloving was not of God, because there's only one God and we are all part of the one living God. I've come to understand that God in its pure form is love and light, But as this force gets poured into our various different bodies with our various different upbringings and programs, it gets diluted. It gets misused. It is extremely misunderstood. We all have free will. We each get to choose how we use this gift that is our life. And most of us don't see our life as a gift at all. Some see it as a curse. We ask, why am I here? And when we listen for the answer, there's silence. As a society, we are conditioned to push our pain into the subconscious realm and ignore it. Many are even unaware it's there. We are trained to put on a happy face to hide the pain that we're sitting on. And if we distract ourselves with enough material possessions and outer accomplishments, we hardly know the pain is even there. Our deepest pain is one of separation. It is the pain the majority of human beings share. We feel separated from Source, from God. Therefore, we go on this quest to find God, and we are so often disappointed in the religious paths we find ourselves on. Religion doesn't seem to have the answers we seek. We're told that what to believe and then to blindly trust the dogma and not to question it. Not questioning dogma works for some, but it never worked for me. And it doesn't work for many, because we have a natural inner curiosity to know the deeper truth of our existence. Who am I? Why am I here? And who is God? Our feelings of separation cause us to hunger for connection, and so we attempt to connect to others to fill the inner longing. But our connection to others, the most significant people in our lives, often end in disappointment because we are mirrors for one another. And we don't often like what we see when we look into the mirror. We see our own self-loathing, our shame, our guilt, and our feelings of unworthiness. Our quest often leads us to a path of inner healing. We come to understand that we have to heal our deepest pain and our warped self-concept. It's not a matter of simply lacking self-confidence or self-worth. It's a matter of lacking a sense of self. We are conditioned to look to others for validation of our worth and value, and if we don't get it from others, we can feel deeply worthless. We can end up feeling very small and insignificant. And this feeling in itself is very painful. We live in a world of duality where there is both good and evil, light and dark, hot and cold, summer and winter. The seeds of good and evil exist within each one of us. Which seeds sprout depend on the choices of the individual. It depends on what we feed. We're not born a good seed or a bad seed. We may be born of people who have migrated towards evil, towards narcissism, towards sociopathy, but we're not born a bad seed. We are a product of our environment. As children, we don't have a choice. We don't even know to question our environment. We come to believe that whatever abuse or neglect we experience is normal. It isn't until we grow up and fully develop our reasoning abilities and make contact with that pain that we've been sitting on for what seems like ages, do we begin to ask questions. We no longer accept what we've been told all those years. We question the reality of our parents, our siblings, our peers. And if we go deep enough into the inquiry, we learn that we can heal and that we can create a new reality. Even if we don't initially realize it, our inner quest is really a spiritual quest because it is our separation from God that is the source of our deepest pain. And if you come from abuse or neglect as a child, you learn to believe that the reason you were abused or neglected was because there was something wrong with you. You were a bad seed. You weren't good enough. You were unworthy of love and care. And this is our core shame. Still, there's a deeper wound, and that is, where was God when all of this was going on? Why was I abandoned? What kind of God would allow this? As children, our parents are God. They are the Almighty. What they say goes. It's their love we crave the most. We crave their attention. We crave their validation of our worthiness. We have a deep need to be seen as good. When we feel abandoned by our parents, we feel abandoned by God. And our relationship with God can become cold and impersonal as we grow up. We're magnets for the same kind of relationships we had in our formative years. They are familiar. They're comfortable. In a way, an old, worn-out pair of slippers might be comfortable. They make us feel the way we're used to feeling. They trigger the same wounds of our shame and unworthiness. This pattern of unfulfilling or abusive, neglectful relationships further separates us from God. For many, it might not be that you were abused or neglected as a child, but your feelings may have continuously been invalidated to a point where you learned it wasn't okay to have feelings. This caused you to push them away where they get lodged in the subconscious. And this is a social problem. It's a societal problem. We've become a deeply repressed global society. And the deeper we're repressed, the more separate from God we become. So it's no wonder there's so much greed, selfishness, hatred, and war. People are constantly attacking the mirror. People attack each other because the other provokes our own repressed fear. The other challenges belief systems we've built our identity on. And they challenge our desire to stay safe in our own little idea of ourselves and the world. What I have discovered on a personal level is the more I awaken to the truth of who I am and the truth of who God is, the more I am targeted by those who are deeply resistant to growth and expansion. To look into oneself can be extremely frightening. Sometimes all one sees is darkness. There's a lack of light there, and that darkness is very scary. To avoid looking at that darkness within, one will cast the shadow onto those who trigger him or her. And as long as one is always casting their inner shadow upon the outside world, he or she will never awaken to the truth of who he or she is. People and groups hide in this belief that they are good and the other is bad. They project their inner darkness upon a scapegoat, one they perceive as being bad. And as long as the focus of badness falls upon the other, one doesn't have to see their own dark side, their own repressed dark emotions, their own cruelty, callousness, coldness, fear, and insecurity. Even the most sinister of people on the planet believe that they are good and the other is bad. It is a belief of self-preservation. One would never really see himself or herself as evil, regardless of the amount of harm and destruction done to others. In the mind of the villain, that person had it coming. Ironically, the people who question their goodness the most are often the most sensitive and loving people. And this is because these people so often fall under the attack of others. They're constantly being blamed and shamed. They're cast into the role of the scapegoat. And when they're treated bad, they often feel it is because they are bad. And this is why if you are one who feels a lot of shame and unworthiness and are aware of these feelings, it's important to understand the dynamics of what I'm talking about today. If you can understand human darkness and how it is repressed and projected outward, you can learn to stop owning and absorbing the dark projections of others. And you get to know yourself more. You get to know what is yours and what's not. But there's another piece that is important to understand. And this is the life force within you is God. God is not a force outside of you that is going to come in and rescue you from your current reality. You may have found that out. You're actually the director of that life force, telling it how to create your reality. And if you are not aware of your power, your God power, you create your life by default. You create life based on your fears, your insecurities, and your beliefs about who you are. You accept the beliefs that others project upon you and feel powerless as a result. Your true power comes in knowing who you really are and knowing how to use your power. You are not a small, insignificant, worthless sinner. You are God in human form. And God is not a force outside of you. It is a force within you. It is you. It is the energy, the consciousness that you are. Not just the part you are conscious of, but also everything that resides in the subconscious. Our conscious mind is everything we are aware of. Why, what I would call the tip of the iceberg, the part that is above the water. The subconscious mind contains everything we are unaware of. Our degree of awakeness is directly related to how much awareness we have gained about who we are, or how much of our subconscious content has risen to the surface of our awareness. We also need to understand the relationship between the subconscious and the conscious mind. The conscious mind is actually the director or master, and the subconscious mind is the servant, acting on the information it is given. If one is unaware of this relationship, he will surely be creating his life by default. His subconscious will be directing him rather than the other way around. Let's look at the subconscious mind as the pool of creative energy that can be used to create your life according to your vision. This is pure creative energy. It is always creating. It is creating based on the information your conscious mind is feeding it and the visions you are entertaining. If you are holding a belief that says, I am unworthy, I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me, these are your core beliefs you hold about yourself. It is done unto you as you believe. So your subconscious will produce results in your life that reflect the beliefs you hold about yourself. The one who believes on a deep level she is unworthy will attract the one who mirrors to her that belief. So if you ask the question, why do I keep attracting people who treat me so badly? The answer is because you carry a belief in your subconscious that you are bad, that you don't deserve to be treated well. Your patterns of attraction are purely based on the deep-seated beliefs you hold about yourself. If you want to change your patterns of attraction, you must change your beliefs. In order to change your beliefs, you need to become aware of what they are. You must be willing to examine your beliefs about yourself, about others, and about God. In order to change a belief, you must be aware of that belief and see the connection between what you believe and what is out picturing in your life. Understand that although there are core wounds and these wounds are very painful and difficult to navigate through, your wounds are at the core of your beliefs. If you feel unworthy, for example, you will come to believe that you are unworthy. Working with core wounds is important for our healing, but it's also important to learn to separate your feelings from your beliefs. You may feel bad at times, but this doesn't mean you are bad. You may feel unworthy, but this does not mean you are unworthy. You may feel like it's all your fault, but this does not mean that it is. You also need to learn to become the nurturing force for the wounded aspects of yourself. Once again, your conscious mind, the director aspect of you, needs to also be the nurturing aspect of you. You need to be consciously nurturing the wounded parts of you. I so often hear people tell me, I know intellectually that I'm worthy, but I don't feel it. The intellectual part of you is also the conscious part of you. You're conscious of the reality that you really are worthy, but this conscious part of you needs to consistently inform the subconscious part of you of your goodness and worthiness. The more you can develop mindfulness to where you become aware of your feelings and beliefs, you can nurture the feeling aspect of you, what I call the inner child. And you can re-inform the believer that you now have a new belief. I am good. I am worthy. I am lovable. You can influence the subconscious mind through repetition, but also through imagination and feeling. If you consistently tell yourself, I'm no good, it will trigger your feelings of being no good, and it will become a program that influences your reality. If you learn to interrupt the voice that says, I'm no good, and inject the new belief, I am good, you slowly begin to reprogram your subconscious beliefs and connect with your own goodness. Your imagination is more powerful than you realize, and it is truly the most powerful manifestation tool that you possess. Your imagination is the visualizer. And our subconscious receives the visions you hold and uses them to create your reality. You have these pictures in your mind or your imagination that begin as internal images, but then become your external reality. Your imagination is your blueprint. Not one thing on earth that has been created by man did not first begin as a seed within the imagination. So you must get the imagination on board by imagining what it would feel like to know that you are good, that you are worthy, that you are lovable. Visualize your life in such a way that it affirms and validates your worth and value. See yourself in your imagination as being and feeling confident, strong, and empowered. What would your life look like if you truly believed in yourself? Imagine it. As God in human form, you are a powerful creator. Did you know this? All creation begins first on the level of the invisible, in the imagination. It begins with a thought or an idea. Feeling is what gives power to the thought or idea. So if you get behind your idea with excitement, with passion, with enthusiasm, these feelings act as fuel to bring that which you imagine into reality. You can either create consciously or create by default through your subconscious beliefs and ideas about yourself. When you learn to create your reality through conscious intent, you will feel much more in control of your life and what shows up in your reality. When you add the fuel of sadness, hopelessness, despair, unworthiness to an imagined idea of yourself as being no good, you will create the reality or experience of being no good. And this is a very painful reality to live in. But you can change it by becoming aware of how you are unconsciously creating the reality in the first place. Another thing that is important for you to know is that nobody outside yourself has the right to tell you who you are. Someone else doesn't get to decide for you your worth and value. Nobody else gets to decide for you how smart, beautiful, or worthy you are. This is your job. People who are unconscious will always project their inner reality outward and blame and accuse others of doing exactly what it is that they are doing. If they have an unconscious program of unworthiness running and are not consciously aware of it, they will often project that unworthiness onto the people closest to them. they will treat you badly to take the focus off their own bad feelings. It's what we call projection. If you're running an unworthy program, you are more likely to own or absorb what is being projected onto you. This is why it's so important to become aware of your core beliefs and feelings. Once you begin to reprogram your beliefs to one of goodness and worthiness, you can reject the negative stuff that is being thrown at you from others. It doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. You don't have to take it in. We give our power away when we allow others to tell us who we are. When we really know ourselves and know who we are, we get to keep our power and reject the external programs being projected upon us. When I was in my early 20s, I was leaving an abusive relationship, and my girlfriend was with me giving me support as I packed up my belongings and prepared to move out. While we were packing, the man I had been with came home, and he went back and forth between projecting all his self-loathing and hatred onto me and then onto my friend who was supporting me. At one point, he started to tell my friend everything that was wrong with her. And her response was, "Is that what I think of myself?" I could see the energy drop right out. His words had no place to stick with her. She rejected his projections because she didn't carry a matching belief about herself. I, on the other hand, was a different story at that time. As we purify the negative beliefs about ourselves and upgrade to holding positive beliefs about ourselves, our lives change. As we begin to understand our own God nature, we stop appealing to an external God and begin to go within and know our own goodness. Our own godness. Be still and know that I am God. We are never truly separate from God. We are God. God is us. We are creators, creating our reality, both individually and collectively. We are powerful. We are anything but small. And this is the truth of all of us, not just some of us. It is our subconscious programs that determine who we become in life, whether we are good or evil or dancing somewhere in between. It's all dependent on the unconscious beliefs we hold about ourselves and our degree of separation from our own awareness of the God within and the power within. God is the consciousness within us, but that consciousness can become polluted, just as our rivers and our air become polluted. The more we purify ourselves of negative thinking, believing, feeling, and imagining, the more we step into our awareness of ourselves as the powerful creators that we are. You are what you believe yourself to be. So what do you believe? When someone says to me, "But Kalia, I don't believe it," I suggest they put less energy on what their current beliefs are and more energy on changing those beliefs. You may have to fake it until you make it, so to speak. Know that your beliefs are changeable. You're not stuck with your current belief system. If your beliefs are not serving you and not creating the reality you want to live in, it's time to change your beliefs. Begin to imagine a different world, a different reality. See it in your mind and imagine how it would feel to live in the new version of yourself. Imagine you're stepping into a parallel reality where you're already that which you desire to be. That version of yourself already exists on the level of the invisible, and it is your work to bring it from the invisible to the visible, by continuing to align with the parallel version of yourself. You are God awakening. God awakening is the human who has forgotten who he is and is slowly remembering. This is you. You are God awakening. Never think or believe of yourself anything you would not believe God to be. Know who you are, Know your creative power and go forth and create the reality you truly wish to live in. And so it is. Thank you for listening. And have an amazingly creative day.